Costs to originate keep rising, even with more technology in the industry. The problem is the core platform. A new LOS can re-architect the process around data, not humans moving paper files. Vesta has built this LOS, and you can learn more at vesta.com.
Pulled from the hottest topics coming across our news desk, I'm Elissa Branch, and this is Housing Wire Daily. Today's episode continues our Rundown miniseries, hosted by Housing Wire's editor-in-chief Sarah Wheeler and featuring lead analyst Logan Modishami. In this episode, Modishami discusses home builders and the all-time lows in housing inventory. He also discusses inflation growth and how the Federal Reserve's efforts to cool down the economy will impact mortgage rates. But before you listen, here's a brief word from our sponsor.
Rigor's appraisal platform connects lenders to their appraisal vendors with unprecedented efficiency and scalability. Smart automations, powerful integrations, and unique workflows help Rigor's customers quickly scale up or down with demand, while simultaneously driving faster, easier, and more transparent appraisals. Integrating deeply with your LOS and POS, Rigor delivers the right data and documentation to the right people at the right time, reducing double work for your team. Learn more at Rigora.com. That's Rigora.com.
Logan, welcome back to another episode of The Rundown. So excited to talk about what's going on in housing economics.
It is great to be here and being in the studio.
Today we're both in the same office, although not in the same space so that we don't have that reverb. Yeah. But yeah, great to have you in the Housing Wire office this week. We had another amazing week. I feel like every week I'm like, oh, last week, but it just doesn't stop. It's just crazy. So let's dive in. Last week you wrote an article for us about, would we start 2022 with all-time lows in housing inventory? So dive into that a little bit.
Yes. You know, one of the things I didn't think could happen this year going into next year is inventories getting back to all-time lows. I thought that we'd be a little bit higher, but I can no longer be assured of that because, again, mortgage demand is picking up, home sales are picking up. And what a lot of people don't know is that we tend to have our best home sale prints, existing home sales, in the fall and winter. That happened last year and happened in the previous expansion. So what's going on is that naturally inventory falls. Every fall and winter, it picks up in spring and summer. So if demand is picking up, it is in play to start 2022 at all-time lows in inventory. So not the best thing you want to see, because again, from the start of the year, I said this is an unhealthy housing market because too low of inventory creates too fast. The speed of days on market is too fast. And then it just creates some friction. Of course, first world problems. Americans are more Americans are buying homes now in 2020 and 2021 than any period from 2008 to 2019. So if you're going to have a problem, this would be it.
Well, and you know, one of the things that some people, you know, you're famous for your forbearance crash bros term, but one of the things that completely did not happen was we did not get a huge, inventory coming online from people, in forbearance who had to then foreclose. So tell us about that.
Typically, the most bearish American citizens we have are usually housing crash fanatics, and they had just pretty awful previous expansion, always talking about housing is going to get weak, nothing happened. So when COVID happened, again, they thought COVID was their savior. So forbearance, because housing didn't crash last year, they pushed everything for 2021. Oddly enough, the people that lacked credit profile experience are reading how good the homeowner's loan profile was. We had that problem in reverse during the housing bubble years, and now it's like everything else. Nothing is like 2008. The loan profiles were fine. The jobs were coming back in 2020. These people are all going to get off of forbearance. The great hope of housing collapsing for these extremely fanatical American bearish people was never going to happen. So hence the term forbearance crash bros. Last year, drag that carcass all the way out to the end of 2021. And now what's happened Friday, another big dive in the numbers down for forbearance. And we're about 882,000. It was near 5 million last year. So I expect more and more people to get off of forbearance as jobs have come back, especially jobs that are 60,000 and above. The economy's on fire. So I think the great hope of the housing collapse from these people just didn't happen as it shouldn't have happened in 2021.
Right. And, you know, I mean, it's not like those people got out of forbearance because they went into foreclosure. I mean, we're seeing forbearance exits in a good way that they can, you know, start paying their mortgage again. They can get into a different loan term.
Sarah, I'm dead honest here. Pretty much the most unsophisticated, untalented people we have in economics are these housing crash people. They have absolutely, it's become a cult. It has just honestly become a cult at this point.
Well, you know, as we're talking about inventory, let's talk about the home builders, right? So you've had a lot of questions this last week. I think even the Washington Post, some other outlets have been asking about home builders in a way. Oh no, it was Reuters who is asking about home builders in the last week, because everyone's wondering. Okay, well, you know, I mean, you wrote an article for us that said it was titled "Why We Can't Build Our Way Out of This Inventory Crisis," right? So talk about where we are with home building right now.
Well, here's the interesting aspect: the builders' confidence has been rising for months. Right. And the recent new home sales report was a miss. It was still positive, but it was a miss. And the revisions were negative, but the builder's confidence is still rising. Two things that I've tried to relate to the readers is that monthly supply of new homes has stabilized. And that's really as long as the builders can sell and make money, they're happy. Everything else is just they're going to complain about everything else for a very long time. But it's all about selling that home at a certain price. Because monthly supply is stabilized, because rates are low, their confidence has been rising. What else has been rising? Purchase application data has gotten better. Existing home sales have gotten better. Pending home sales have gotten better. So does the new home sales sector actually see some better sales growth? The permits have been doing well, and it's all about housing permits, right? Housing permits are a forward-looking indicator, and the permits have been doing well. Now, obviously, we all know things take longer to close and complete, so the housing starts data itself is going to lag. The permits is the way to go. The permits have been doing good the last few months with the builder's confidence, so it'll be interesting to see going out that does new home sales follow the existing home sales market in terms of seeing some better data. And that would correlate with the recent increase, because one of the recent articles I wrote is, why are the builders so happy? Well, they're making money and selling homes. As long as rates, and I've always said, as long as mortgage rates are below 3.75, the builders are okay. You know, they feel fine. The kind of decline in confidence and a lot of the housing data was just a moderation from the COVID-19 peak. And that's why we talked about moderation in data. Don't overreact to it. A lot of people overreacted to it. So it'll be interesting to see the housing starts data this week to see if permits still hold. Now, we always have to remember housing starts data can be wild month to month. Sometimes you get these really positive headlines or these real negative headlines. Trend is what matters, because it has to get averaged out. If permits are holding good, it confirms the confidence of the builders rising for the last few months.
So that's one of the things we should look for this week. You're going to be writing that up for us when that comes out. But also, you know, talk a little bit about lumber prices. So lumber prices were the story in the spring. Then, you know, they got better. What's happening now?
Lumber prices are going back up, right? Inflation is up. Lumber prices are up. And I just want to add that a lot of the extreme housing bears in America were trying to say because lumber prices were crashing, that meant housing was crashing in 2021. Now that it's rising, do those people have the same sophistication to realize that what they said in the past is increasing? So they should be talking about, well, home sales are going to go up. So, of course, lumber price is an input cost, and it's never a good thing for it to go on. But again, as long as the builders can pass, and let's add this, the builders are making money. Their margins are excellent. Why? Because they can pass the cost on. This is something we wrote earlier this year as well. The builders have the ability to do this because rates are low. If rates rise, especially above 3.75, and we saw what it did to the new home sales sector at 5% rates in 2018. But as long as rates are low, they're passing this cost on. Now, it can't go on forever. It's not a positive that lumber prices are up. But again, lumber prices up, builders' confidence up, housing permits up, purchase application data's up, pending home sales up, existing home sales up. It's December. Merry Christmas.
I love that recap. Well, you know, you mentioned rates and how, you know, builders can sustain, you know, they can pass on those costs as long as we have a certain rate level so that, you know, people can still afford to build those new homes. So again, let's talk about rates. What happened in the bond market? What are you seeing?
Well, we just had one of the hottest CPI inflation prints in last Friday, and the bond market, the 10-year yield is still below 160, right? The bond market looks exactly right what I thought it would look like in the recovery in 2021. That 10-year yield range between 1.33 to 1.60. You have the hottest economic growth in many decades. You have the hottest inflation growth. You have the Fed talking about tapering. You have Fed rate hike in play in the bond market. The long end is doing exactly what it's done for four decades. The higher rates kind of story, again, remember, bond market channels within each expansion. That's how it's worked for since the 1980s. Find your range and go with it. Don't just throw out, you know, mortgage rates should go up for this reason. Because if the Federal Reserve is trying to cool down the economy with rate hikes and whatever they're going to try to do to cool this economy down, is that an environment for mortgage rates to really go higher? So I think that's the thing about 2022. And we're going to talk about that in the 2022 forecast in details, because you've got to give details, you've got to give models. It gives people a pathway to move forward. So what the bond market is doing and mortgage rates are doing looks completely normal to me. And that was the forecast for 2021. And it's looked right on target.
So exciting. So just to recap, if I'm a mortgage lender, if I'm in real estate, what you're saying is you don't see rates going up anytime soon.
There is a reason why I've never predicted over 1.94% on the 10-year yield. That means no 4% mortgages after 2019. There is a lot of things that have to happen for rates to go up higher. A lot of this is the world economies have to come together. I mean, our bond market cannot go too much higher if we're still dealing with COVID variants and all the economies not there yet. If the world economies are working in together and we have no more delays and no more, you know, all the stuff that we have to deal with this virus, it could be a different story, but we're not there yet. So the 10-year yield is pretty much looking in line. So don't be shocked if we have a two handle, right? Nobody wants to talk about a two handle mortgage in 2022, but definitely in play. And we'll go more into that in details with the 2022 forecast.
That is, I know that that's music to a lot of people's ears, maybe not happy for some other people. So when should we look for that 2022 forecast?
It is coming toward Christmas time.
Awesome. So you're a little bit of an early Christmas present there for our readers who can get your whole take. They should look for that. They should look for your story coming this week and revisit all the things that you've been writing, because they're all still in play.
Yeah. And just, you know, the low inventory and the bigger stories here is that inventory has been falling since 2014, total inventory. Purchase application data has been rising. Everyone kind of wants to be the hero and say, I'm going to be the expert to tell you when housing is going to crash. There is a long-term story here that has been in place. And again, if demand is stable, it is literally impossible to have inventory skyrocket. It doesn't work like that. You know, demand has to go down. It has to go down for a long time. Remember, we've had the 2005 to 2008 housing. That was 3 years of basically purchase applications going negative from a very high level that couldn't be sustained. We're not at a very high level. We're back at 300 in the purchase application data, which was a longer term forecast in the previous expansion. We'll hit that level in years 2020 to 2024. So if you're looking for escalation in inventory, you need demand to fall. Supply and demand, it's not that difficult, but demand can't be stable and having inventory increase. Now, I do believe that we want to see total inventory levels get to about 1.52 million to 1.93 million. It's historically very low, but it kind of in the 2018, 2019, it creates more days on market. People can have a more relaxed experience. But I think one of the flaws that I saw this year is that a lot of people saw those Fannie Mae surveys and they said it's the worst time to buy homes in America. They use that as the premise for housing crashing. No, that is people just don't want to deal with competition, right? Demand is there. Typically when that gets lower, it means that people have to compete with other American citizens using mortgages to buy homes, and they don't want to do that. So yeah, I totally understand why that data line fell, but I didn't agree with the premise that that meant that housing was crashing in the second half of 2021. So sorry, my housing crash friends, didn't happen. Move that goal post to 2022.
Logan, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you for sharing your insights with us. And we'll look forward to seeing what you write this week and to that forecast.
Definitely.
Thanks so much.
Looking for more insight into what will happen in 2022? Or maybe you need more information on what in the world is happening with the federal regulators. Or you could just be looking for information on how to stay competitive as the industry shifts to a purchase-focused market. Our HW Plus Premium membership comes with all of this insight and more. With your HW Plus membership, you'll get at least 5 HW Plus articles a week that dive deeper into the daily news to help you confidently make business decisions. To join, go to housingwire.com/membership.
Thanks for listening to Housing Wire Daily. I hope you have a great afternoon. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on all the hottest stories crossing our news desk daily. The podcast is now available wherever you like to listen. Make sure to tune in tomorrow.